Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. That is the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Camaro Dave and Commander Chris, coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in beautiful downtown Portland. Barbecue Nation is part of the Envision Radio Networks. Today, we welcome back a friend of the show, and it's been about a year since he's been on, Malcolm Reed from Killer Hogs and How to Barbecue Right. We welcome Malcolm, and he'll be with us in just a second. Also, we'd like to say that this portion of the show is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. And a little music today from Tom Petty. I thought, you know, Tom Petty's a Georgia boy, and Malcolm, I think, was originally from Mississippi. That's about as close as I could get last night when I was working on the script, but it's still good. So, Malcolm, welcome, bud. What you been doing?
Man, I've just been enjoying our winter break, but now it's time to get back to work down here, so... And How to Barbecue Right. We had our first contest last weekend down on the coast, and now it's just, you know, back to making videos this week.
Good for you. Let's kind of go back and refresh everybody. I'm sure a lot of our listeners already know, you know, about your videos and Killer Hogs and stuff, but what really prompted you to take your barbecue to the level that you're doing it now? And then also the, you know, the instruction videos with How to Barbecue Right and all that. I mean, that's a big leap for anybody.
Well, I just enjoy it, man. I tell you what, I've always been, you know, a big fan of cooking, especially outdoor with live fire and doing barbecue and grilling and all that. And I've been into competition barbecue for a long time, but I've been doing the YouTube video thing for 10 years. So I guess you could say it's been part of my life for the last quarter of my life. So, but you know, it's a lot of fun. That's probably the main thing behind it. I enjoy cooking, having fun doing it, fun competing, and sharing my journey along the way. That's kind of the passion behind what Rochelle and I do at a barbecue ride. It's just sharing our knowledge of barbecue with everybody.
Well, I was going to tell our listeners, if you've never seen one of Malcolm's videos, you need to go watch. You know, you're behind by 1.5 million people or something on each one of his videos. He gets a great reception for them, but they're very good. He's very thorough. He takes it nice and easy. There's no, I don't want to say trickery, but he goes through it step by step and explains it to you in a very easy to understand way. And it makes it sound very simple. And the way he does it is a lot of times, and they're really executed well out there. So a little compliment to you there, Malcolm, but your videos are really good because, man, you know, sitting in my chair, I see a lot of them and I still go back to yours all the time.
Well, thank you. You know, that's kind of our style is just like someone, our friends or buddies sitting there with me and I'm explaining how to cook stuff. That's how I learned, and I think it, you know, it just translates to a lot of people. You know, I don't try to get over anybody's head. I mean, not that I could, but
yeah,
you know, I don't really have a teaching background or anything. I just know, you know, we've kind of fell into our style by trial and error and explaining things the way we would explain them to our friends if they were sitting there with us. And that's kind of the approach that Rochelle takes as she captures it all on camera.
Yeah, well, they're great, and the thing I like about them too is, you kind of make the, I'm going to use a big word here for me, differentiation between what you would do competitively and what you would do for, you know, cooking for friends on a Sunday afternoon in your backyard. I really wanted to get your take on this. Sometimes I think with some of the folks that are doing videos, they don't break that out enough. You know, they tend to lean towards the competition side, which is great. But then when the weekend warrior at home tries to do that and gives his wife a bite of brisket and it's got a 1/2 inch of rub and salt on it, it's sometimes that doesn't work out too well.
No, you're exactly right. That competition barbecue, it's totally different than the stuff that we like to eat at home. I mean, you're pretty much making one bite barbecue for judges.
Yep.
When we're at contest, because we're trying to, you know, set ourselves out apart from these other guys, and it kind of, like you said, it just keeps getting growing over the top and over the top. But it's one bite. It's meant for that judge to taste everything you're trying to do to the meat in one bite. Where at home, we're making barbecue that you can sit down and eat and enjoy a meal of. And so that's the difference. And most of the time, it's, you know, the recipes and the meat that I cook for just eating at home or serving to your friends and family, it's meant to let the meat shine through. Of course, we know we use different seasonings and techniques, sauces, and all that good stuff. But I try to keep it on a level to where you can sit down and enjoy it. You know, you want to eat it.
Right.
It's not just one bite that I'm trying to, you know, wow somebody with. Now, yeah. A lot of times it does end up wowing because the meat's, you know, barbecue's simple. You know, it's meant to be a simple food, so it's great on its own.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, a lot of people just use salt and pepper, garlic, or whatever. And like you said, the meat comes through. It meat shines for you, and that's great. And then when you add some other rubs or seasonings or a little sauce or whatever, that just enhances it. But that's not really the point at the competitions. I remember Amy Mills telling me, she goes, I know when I've been to too many competitions in a row, she said, I can't get the rings off my fingers because my hands are so swollen.
Oh, yeah. That comes from all that salt and all that good stuff that people are injecting that meat up with and putting on it.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on that judging side of the table. It's a lot tougher. You know, it sounds like it's fun. You just get to eat all this good barbecue, man. It's a job.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. To give everybody a fair shake and a try all that stuff, you can imagine how you feel when it's all said and done.
I've not done too many of them, but I've done as a guest judge, celebrity judge, whatever you want to call it. And at the end of the day, I feel like somebody ought to put me in a wheelbarrow and just roll me to my car and kind of push me in and say, okay, go home, Jeff. You know?
You know, we end up having just to go on salads for a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
You're so sick of meat.
Yep. So, we got about a couple minutes here before we got to go to break, Malcolm. When you're testing something, you've got an idea. You're going to change something, whether it's a rub or a spice or a timing that you're going to cook on something. And I know they're all different, but kind of walk us through that process, would you, of how Malcolm looks at something and goes, I've got an idea, boom, and we're going to try it. So how do you do that?
Well, I've kind of got myself in the habit over the years of making notes. And I stick to my notes. When I think of an idea or something that I want to change or work on, it could be as simple as opening up the notes on my cell phone and jotting it down. And that way it gives me a reference point to go back to and test it out. And, you know, I do a ton of cooking, so I'm always experimenting and trying new things. And I stay in other people's cookbooks and just trying to, you know, learn, you know, how to cook better at home.
Sure.
And so it's not really a complicated process. I guess a lot of it's just trial and error and having fun with it. The great thing about this is most of the stuff that I'm cooking, you know, we get to try and enjoy, and I get to test it out on my family and on my friends.
Oh yeah.
You get a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when I'm messing around with stuff, I'll come in and our daughter is, you know, gone to college, moved on and all that stuff. But even she seems to make it home on the weekends when I'm fussing around with the barbecues. And, but my wife, who's probably my biggest critic, because she's got a very different palate than other people. And she'll say, that's really good, or too salty, or, you know, whatever like that. So I've got my own in-house, critics brigade, if you will. I don't know what Rochelle does for you, but I know what my wife does for me.
Oh, yeah. She's an excellent cook in her own right. So she doesn't let anything slip by, and she doesn't hold punches. So if I do something and it doesn't turn out, you know, good, she's going to let me know quick. You know, I get that all the time. But where we live here in North Mississippi, man, I'm surrounded by great barbecue cooks. So that was kind of, you know, part of what made me a better cook was cooking against these guys all the time, every weekend. And so when we bounce stuff off each other, and that's the great thing about barbecues, and everybody, you know, we're all friends until it's right before turn-in time, and then after that, we try each other's stuff, and even if it's just, you know, food we're cooking around the house, people are always popping in, or we're going and have different, you know, meetups at other people's houses, sure, and working on recipes and things, and that's what makes it fun to me. It's barbecue, so communal. I mean, that's what it's about.
Absolutely. We're talking with Malcolm Reed from Killer Hogs. We'll be back here on Barbecue Nation in just a minute on the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us.
She's a good girl, loves her mom, loves Jesus.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Today we are talking with Malcolm Reed, and we'll get with Malcolm in just a second here. Want to say, if you want to email us, it's barbecuebbq@salempdx.com. Also, you can check out our whole archive of shows that's on SoundCloud, and it's on a lot of other platforms too, but SoundCloud is probably the main one. And you just go Barbecue Nation JT. We're on Facebook, Barbecue Nation JT. I have my own Twitter account, and the show does too, the separate ones, but mine is CowCook57, and the other one is Barbecue Nation. And we'd like to say hello to a couple of our new affiliates, WCGO in Chicago and WEEU in Philadelphia. Thanks for being on the Barbecue Network with us. Let's go back now and talk with Malcolm Reed from Killer Hogs and Barbecue, How to Barbecue Right. What have you got, like 100 million views now, Malcolm, or something like that?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's way. It probably is getting up close to 100 million. That's crazy when you think about it, but over 10 years, I think I'm approaching 500 videos or something like that on uploaded. And
yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, my next target is trying to get 1 million subscribers. That's what we're working on now. We hit the 800,000 mark, and we're slowly chugging along, just, you know, trying to put out quality content, and hopefully people keep watching and subscribing.
Well, yeah, that's good. I mean, we've been doing this show now for, I don't know, 3 years, something, 4 years, I guess. And we just broke 123,000 in listens and downloads. That's on SoundCloud. I haven't added up all the other platforms we're on. So we're probably getting to 250,000 listens if I add everything up, which isn't bad. You know, it gets there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fantastic.
You know, we'll do that. So tell us what you've learned, like, in the last year since I've talked to you, because I know that when you're working and you're doing your videos, you can go back and look at a video from, you know, 8 years ago to see one that you're just doing now. And there's little subtle changes that you've done in the actual cooking and prepping. So give our listeners a little insight as to what are a couple of things you've learned the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, I mean, for me, the main thing, I guess, is just that preparation is key. You know, especially that we're trying to capture a lot of the stuff that I cook. We have to, you know, I have to really plan out the recipe. Have to plan out how we're going to capture that and make it to where it's presentable for, you know, for somebody else to recreate it. That's the big thing. So a lot of it takes testing, making sure that the recipe is good, but, you know, it meets our standards. And then it takes, you know, preparation for film day. And a lot of what we do is just me being comfortable, you know, not getting in my own head and just and being myself when we're cooking. That's probably the hardest part, because, you know, if something doesn't go right, you get a little flustered, or there's all kinds of things that can throw you off. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time to do our videos. We try to do like a 1 week turnaround on them. So we're, sure, you know, a lot of times we're filming on Monday or Tuesday, and Shell's spending the, you know, Wednesday editing, and then we're trying to get it uploaded on Thursday for release. So we have, you know, we have a pretty tight schedule, so there's not a whole lot of room for error. But, you know, I mean, I guess the biggest thing I learned is just being more comfortable and you know, learning how to be prepared and really practice and set everything up to where, you know, the recipe works.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it is a learning process. I've done a lot of television over the years live, and you have like 6 minutes. And so you've got to have your before, middle, and after. you know, after for the hero shots and the whoever's working with you takes a bite and goes, ooh, that's great. But like you said, it's the prep work and making sure the recipe works, because I certainly don't want to, like, go on TV here in Portland and, you know, give somebody or 40,000 people that are watching, literally give them a bum recipe. That doesn't work at all.
You know, I have nightmares about it. About my recipes not working. That's probably one of the biggest fears you can have. You know, something, you give somebody something and they try it and they say, man, this is horrible, you know.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we don't have many of those. I mean, of course, there's going to be things that just don't work, but majority of the time, it turns out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. No, and it does, but I have nightmares about that, too, because every once in a while, I'll get an email after I do a show, and they'll say, I missed a step. Not that I missed a step. They took the recipe and are trying to do it at home, and somehow what I conveyed while I was talking was not what came out on the printed version that they downloaded or something, you know? So then you got to figure out what step they missed. So that's always fun. You can make,
you can make
a lot of friends or enemies.
Some of those questions.
Yeah.
I get a ton of those questions.
Yeah. You get the, you're on the line right then, man, because if you can't help them, they don't like think you're very cool. If you can help them, then you can be a hero. That's the only thing I can say about that.
No, you're exactly right.
It's tough. It's tough. Have you changed anything, Malcolm, at your thought process, your something that when you started you didn't like to do? Like, I'm just going to make something up, so I'll just give you an example. Maybe you didn't like to inject with pineapple juice or apple juice or something, but then over the years you kind of saw the value in it and you've changed. Have you made those types of changes?
Well, I don't know if there's anything super drastic that I've changed like that. If anything, it's probably letting whatever I cook rest for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a hard thing to do after you cook something, especially some barbecue that you cooked. You know, it's something you spent hours and hours and hours on. When you get to the point, you want it to get done. You're ready to try it. But for us to sit back and to stop, and just to let it hang out. You'll hear me just say, let it hang out. And I always say, you know, the hardest thing for me to do, the easy part's the cooking. The hardest part's letting it hang out.
Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah.
Because I'm ready to dive into it. And I've kind of over the years, I've noticed that stuff turns out a little bit better if I give it a little bit of a rest. And it's not, you know, I'm not just saying, you know, it's important to let your ribeye steak rest for 7 minutes when it comes off the grill. I'm just talking about in general, if you just take a step back, let things calm down. And to me, it makes it better. It really does.
You know, my dad couldn't cook, but he gave me that same advice. He wasn't talking about cooking, though. He goes, sometimes you just need to let things, he used the term settle down. You just got to calm down, settle down a little bit, give it a minute, it'll work out. And whenever that pops into my head and I'm doing it, especially when I'm cooking, just like what you just said, it works better. It really works better.
Well, I've found that it lets me taste stuff better. You know, I get a predetermined thing of what I think it's going to be like. But if I take a step back, kind of calm down for a minute, and then I go in it with, you know, the mindset, I want to taste this recipe now. That's where I can see if the flavors are coming through that I want, if there's anything I might adjust. And so, you know, a lot of that helps.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Malcolm Reed, Killer Hogs, and Barbecue Right Video Sensation. You ever been called the sensation before, Malcolm?
I don't think I've ever been called a sensation.
Okay, well, you're a sensation now. But we'll be back here on Barbecue Nation in just a minute on the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Well, I walk back down. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and today we are talking with Malcolm Reed from Killer Hogs and How to Barbecue Right. And again, I will recommend, if you've never seen one of Malcolm's videos, go on YouTube, just Either type in Malcolm Reed or How to Barbecue Right, and there's a list of them a mile long, and all of them are worthwhile for you to watch and get the information from Malcolm. It's true. Also, this part of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended, and just like your grandpa used to raise. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also, you can check us out on SoundCloud. That's Barbecue Nation with JT. And the email again is barbecue, that's BBQ, at salempdx.com. So there you go. There's all that stuff. Rochelle has got to be a super warrior to stick around and watch you do all this stuff, buddy.
She's really special. I mean, she puts up with a lot. And she, of course, I'm just kind of the cook. That's what I do best. Everything else, she makes me look really good out there.
Uh-huh.
But together we're a pretty good team. We work well together because if you're working with your spouse, that's tough. But especially doing what we're doing, you can imagine you got to have a great relationship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all I'm going to say, because my wife does listen to the show occasionally. So I'm going to agree with you. Do you remember the first competition you went to and how it turned out for you?
Oh, yeah, I do. And this was probably when I was, still in high school. That's really what got me into the whole barbecue competitive thing. We had a buddy that his dad had a barbecue team, and we always grew up around this little contest. But he asked us, I guess some of his friends or whoever, teammates, didn't want to do it anymore, and he still wanted to cook. So he asked us if we wanted to come and hang out and, help him cook at South Haven Spring Fest. And this was, I guess it was in early 90s, maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was, it's been a long time ago, but that contest, I didn't know anything about competition barbecue. And we saw all these teams that had their trophies set up and their big rigs, and we had a cooker with us. And we went back home. We brought our baseball trophies and football trophies and all the trophies we had. And we set up a table with all our trophies. And we clicked in the contest and just knew that we had, we're going to win it. And I'm sure I never saw the scores, but I'm sure we were all at the very bottom. But it was one of those things where it was fun. It was exciting to us. We were young. And so we decided to keep going at it. And then, of course, it was a small contest at first around where we lived. And as the years went on, me and my brother Waylon, who was the other half of Killer Hogs with me, we kind of took it more serious. And we finally got a call. I think our first call was probably in Red Beans and Mirage or some ancillary contest at a barbecue contest.
Sure.
And once we got that one, we were hooked. And I remember when we got our first rib call, we got a rib trophy, and we thought we had it all figured out. And hundreds of thousands of dollars later, that's about how many hours and heartaches and tears and all that goes with it. Here we are.
It's
still chasing it. I mean, it's like a bad drug, man. You get hooked on it and you just keep chasing it.
Yeah, well, there's no getting out. That's the thing. There's just no getting out. I mean, even if you take a breather for a while, I talked to a guy not long ago that he had gotten away from competitive barbecue and for, 10 years, something like that, since the early 2000s. And then all of a sudden he came back. And it's like, yeah, you just took a long nap, man, but you still woke up and went right back into the game.
Yeah, that's right. It kind of reminds me of that, what's the Hotel California? You can check out, but you can never leave.
Yep, that's it.
Some of that feel to it.
That's it. That's it. So how has your equipment improved since your first competition?
Well, that's a laughing matter there. I mean, we had the old, homemade jobs where they were like barrels, cut in half.
Oh, yeah.
On their side. And there was a couple of years we had some old iron bathtubs that we had welded together, and you had what you could afford back then.
Sure.
And then as the years went on, got a little money and got real jobs and bought more equipment. And man, there's through the course of the years, the way I've seen our stuff change, it's incredible.
What do you use now, actually, when you're out there at an event?
Most of the time, we're cooking on old hickory pits.
Yeah.
We have an old hickory CTO on our barbecue trailer. I still take one of these ugly drum smokers with me too. I just love the flavor off one. That's our typical ones. Now when we're doing the steak contest, we take PK grills with grill grates, of course, give us those beautiful grill marks.
Sure.
I have a Jambo that I can hook up to my truck and pull behind me. It's more of a traditional stick burner pit. And I've got a small smoker problem. If you watch my stuff very often, you'll see.
Yeah.
Comes out in my videos.
Yeah. Well, I kind of do too. Not as many as you, but I do have kind of one. I was just thinking, and maybe I told you this before, but I still have the very first offset stick burner that I bought, $150, actually $149.95 at Home Depot back in the 90s somewhere. And I still have it, and I still drag it out. And people who listen to the show have heard me say that before, but I drag it out once or twice a year just to kind of burn the cobwebs out of it and stuff. And it still does great. It still does super, especially with, like, you know, up here we have a lot of seafood, so I do, you know, like smoked salmon fillets or something on it. Yeah, it's terrific. It's the best $150 I ever spent, I think.
You know, that's what's great about barbecue. You don't have to have fancy equipment. You can, as long as you learn to cook, learn to maintain your fire and what you have, you can turn out some outstanding food.
Yeah.
That's part of the beauty of it. And a lot of people get caught up, well, I got to have a certain pit or, you know, cook a certain way. That's not really the case. And even with your seasonings and everything you use, it's all about technique and learning how to maintain a fire and learning when meat's done and patience. I mean, that's the best thing that I could pass on to people. You know, once you learn how to do those things, you can turn out some outstanding barbecue.
You know, there's a big deal, and I know you sell your own rubs and spices and stuff, and I think that's great. A lot of people are getting into that business, and I certainly understand that. But what to you goes into putting together a rub or a seasoning mixture, whatever you want to call it, that makes it good, makes it worth purchasing for, you know, the civilian population, so to speak? What's the care process you go through in that?
Well, I think the biggest part of it's trial and error. Before I've bottled anything, I've spent countless dollars and countless hours perfecting it and trying it on different meats and stuff. And each one of them has their own purpose. But, you know, a lot goes into it because just because you have a recipe for something and you can make it at home doesn't mean that it could be bottled and mass produced. That's a whole nother animal.
Right.
Working with the co-packer that can actually blend it to your specifications and have it turn out exactly how you want it. And then, you know, getting the label and everything right on it, and then actually being able to sell it once you get it, that's another challenge. Because I would say thousands of great products out there on the market, and there's a lot of them that I've never heard of that are, you know, just wonderful products. I mean, all of them have the same, you know, base thing. They're great on meat and stuff, but, you know, it's there's a lot goes into it.
Yeah, there is. I did my own back in the 90s also, and I got out of it because I was going in a different direction. I didn't have time to manage it and all that stuff. But the reason I did it and got started with never thinking about putting it on the market or anything at that point was I couldn't find the combination of spices, if you will, that I liked. I had it in my head, but I couldn't find a pre-bottled one that was there that I liked. So I made my own, you know, and like you said, it took a lot of time, a lot of experimentation and that. I turned turned our kitchen at the ranch into a laboratory for a couple of weeks on the first batch, which was not appreciated by everybody else that lived in the house, but I got it done. So I feel for you. I don't feel for Malcolm because I know you don't, knows what he's doing, but yeah, I feel for you if you're listening to this show and you think, well, I'm going to go out and mix this and I'm going to mass produce this. That's a tough job.
It is. It's a tough market too. It's really tough. I mean, there's so many great ones out there. That's our biggest thing. Your brand is kind of you and how you represent it. That's what I'll actually sell it for you. You know, if you've got to be able to put in the work and the time and the hours, if you're going to sell it, there's ton of great recipes out there for seasonings, and I've got some that I never would bottle.
Yeah,
I still make this day. It's just, you know, some of my favorite ones, but there's a lot goes into it.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show with Malcolm Reed, and Malcolm is going to stick around for the after hours. That's the fun part. And don't forget, you can check him out at Killer Hogs and also How to Barbecue Right on YouTube, of course. And we'll be back with Malcolm in just a minute. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Malcolm Reed today from Killer Hogs and How to Barbecue Right. Malcolm, as I said, is going to stick around for the after-hour show, which you can only get online. That's where we just kind of freewheel and talk about stuff, and we don't have any commercial interruptions. Where do you see yourself, Malcolm, 5 years from now?
Oh, wow. It's hard to plan down the road with what we're doing, man. I would like to say we're going to continue, you know, making videos and sharing our barbecue journey with everybody. I mean, we don't have any, you know, any idea of stopping doing what we're doing. But I mean, one of these days I'm gonna win Memphis in May.
There you go.
That's on my to do list. Hopefully, it'll happen within the next 5 years. And then the Royals also on my list. So I've got a pretty big bucket list of dreams that I'm chasing still. But we're gonna keep on, you know, making videos and trying different forms. You know, not just instructional videos on how to cook stuff. We've got some other things. Shell and I started a podcast, and we're having a lot of fun with that. It's kind of an inside on what we do behind the scenes.
Sure.
And then, you know, we're in the works of, you know, our own production company, putting it together and having film crew and just, you know, kind of taking more of a management approach and helping other people out, things like that. In the video realm. So we've got some goals and some dreams we're working towards.
Now you're working with Meathead at Amazing Ribs, aren't you? Doing some stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's having a big meetup, and I think it's in July, end of July here in Memphis. And he asked me if I wanted to come on board and talk about Memphis style barbecue, things like that there. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, I'm going to try out some of his recipes and see how they turn out for me. So
sure,
that's kind of what we got going on. And actually, this week I'm releasing one of his that I did for a Chicago Italian beef sandwich. And it turned out phenomenal. The show's almost there, edited the video. Hopefully, it'll be live here, you know, in the next few hours on YouTube. So,
oh, great! I'm going to check that out because he and I are doing some stuff together, and I love to needle him, give him a hard time. So, I'm going to tell him that you said his sandwich wasn't worth a damn, and then, and then see what he says. So,
I think he knows better than that. Man.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
A vast amount of barbecue knowledge on AmazingRibs.com, and there's some, you know, great people there in this forum, and I mean, it's a bunch of good barbecue folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you get a chance to do much with seafood where you live?
Occasionally. I mean, that's not one of my, you know, I've got some recipes that I do, and you know, but we're not, Memphis isn't a real big seafood town.
Right.
We're more of a pork town. So, but I mean, I do love some seafood. I try to get down to the coast and go fishing at least once a year. And I usually bring back some redfish or red snapper or cobia or something like that. Uh-huh. And some of the different species that we like to eat. And of course, you know, shrimp's a big thing. So when you say seafood, I'm mainly thinking shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what we are too. I mean, we have lots of fish up here in the Northwest, of course, where, you know, we have salmon and halibut and sole and all that stuff, but I'm still a shrimp and crab guy. That's kind of me. But, so a lot of my recipes, if you ever see me on TV and stuff, they'll have shrimp or crab or something in it. You know, it may be angel food cake, but it may be stuffed with Dungeness crab. You just never know what I'm going to come up with.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
If you had a piece of advice to give people just getting into it, maybe not even the competition level, just getting into barbecue, you know, to be the weekend warrior on the deck or the balcony or the back porch or wherever it is, what would you tell them?
Man, I would just say just keep smoking. And that's what, you know, whenever I write a note or to someone or you know, someone asks me something like that, that's what I always tell them. Don't let anything discourage you. Everything's not going to be great, but if you just keep the smoke rolling and, you know, if you've got a passion for it, you just want to create some good food. I mean, just get out there and do it. There's no wrong way to barbecue. When we say, you know, how to barbecue right, it's not that my way is the only way. It's just
right.
The only wrong way is not to do it. So I don't, you know, don't let anybody hold you back or anything else just because you don't have the, you know, the fanciest equipment or are the most expensive cuts of meat. That's not what barbecue is. Barbecue is about, you know, taking a lesser cut of meat, turning it into something fantastic, and sharing it with people.
Absolutely.
So that's the best advice I could give.
Well, that's very well said, Malcolm. And I think that's so true because, you know, historically, and we've just got about 20 seconds left here, so I'm sorry about that. But historically, you know, they over direct fire, slow roasted meats and that type of thing. Because back when they started this thing, they didn't know what a filet or a brisket or, you know, a tri-tip was. We've advanced a little bit for mankind, I guess. But I just want people to have fun and enjoy the food.
That's absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. It really is. It's about having a good time, enjoying it, and sharing with other people.
Malcolm Reed from Killer Hogs and How to Barbecue Right. You can find him all over the web. And he said a minute ago, he's got a new video coming out this week that he did some work with Meathead from Amazing Ribs. Thank you, buddy. Now you're going to stick around for After Hours. And we're going to get out of here. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. And you'll live life better if you do it that way. So for everybody here at the studio, I'm JT for Barbecue Nation and Vision Radio Networks. Take care and have a good week.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.